John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." See the same pattern there. "By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." The way that the world will know who we are is by love for one another. You know, you could, and I think that we, I'll put it back on myself, say, I don't think that I have thought through that I have etched that into my heart the way that it needs to, that the demonstration of Christianity is supposed to be based upon love above everything else. Because, you know, at this time of the year, especially we're coming around to elections and so on, and you could say, and we get to thinking maybe, you know, the love will be demonstrated by the party that I support or the candidate that I support, but that's really not what it's saying. All these other things come out of that, come out of the fact that we love the way that we're supposed to, that we show the love of God in a practical way. You know, somebody might say, "Well, I'm a Christian. Look at the bumper stickers on my car." I remember we had a Saab. That was our Saab story at the time, and it was really rusted out. We lived in Pennsylvania, and a lot of the car was held together by the bumper stickers. So they serve all kinds of purposes, but not necessarily our true Christianity. You know, the way that we dress, hairstyle, the fact that we go to church. Are you a Christian? Well, yeah, I go to church. Well, that really doesn't mean an awful lot. Like somebody said, you know, if you lived in an old chicken coop, does that make you a chicken? Hang around the airport, does that make you an airplane? It's not just where we hang around, but what's happening on the inside. People will know that we're disciples not by signs and wonders, even. There are false signs and wonders. There are things that we can't explain that happened that didn't necessarily come from God. God always does good, but you know, especially in these last days, the Bible says there are going to be false prophets and so on. Not by the fact that we have some, even what we might be called deep revelation in the Word of God. We used to kid at Bible school and say, "I got a heavy revelation. It's deep. Don't know anything, but got some deep revelation," you know. One of those kind of things. Sometimes we overthink the Word of God. I think it was Brother Hagin who said that when you compare scriptures together in different translations and it begins to make common sense, don't seek any other sense. Sometimes we're looking for too much. We're looking for something there that's not there. And you know, you can look at it long enough and after a while and invent something. You don't need to invent anything. The Word of God is already covers everything that we could possibly need or want. Praise God. And it's not about you know, whether we're driving the right car or living in the right house or any of those kind of things. It just comes down to if we have the same kind of love in manifestation that Jesus has for us. Amen. That's how they'll know. Those are Christians. And I don't think that we've done enough of that as the Christian community in the world, you know, and we're focusing on that right now, but that shouldn't just be a part of the year focus or a once in a while focus, but should be the focus of our life. Everything else comes out of that. The love that God has for us, and then because he loves us, we can love with that same kind of love. Go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 28. "Then one of the scribes came," Mark 12:28, "one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well," but Jesus always answered them well, "asked him, which is the first commandment of all?" You know, when you get put on the spot, sometimes you got to start asking questions. But he asked a good question here. Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is this." And I was reading somewhere that the rabbis each had their favorite that they thought was the most important commandment. So Jesus solves this problem for them. Some of them thought the most important commandment was Sabbath. And it's important to have rest and so on, and that has a whole spiritual meaning. But the most important one is, the first commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This is more than don't kill, more than love your father and mother. All those things comes from love God. He's loved us first. We didn't initiate this. He loved us. Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So the love is already there. The capability is already there. I think we need to learn to think that way. I'd like it tilted the wrong way here. Okay. I think I'm balanced now. The analyst rises up every once in a while. What can I say? But this love is, this kind of capability is already in our hearts. Now I'm too far that way. I don't know. Okay, I think I got it. Yeah, I need marks on, I need something. I don't know what it is. Thank you, Lord. So this love is in our hearts, the capability of loving this way. And again, you know, we need to define it because I've said before, we have one, the English has one word, love. And it's got to cover, I love peanut butter and jelly, I love my dog, I love chickens. doesn't even sound right. I love my wife. It has to cover a lot of different areas, but the Greek language had at least four different words for love, and this particular word, it seems that it didn't have this meaning to start with, just a love feast, but God said, this is the word I'm going to use. Put it in the Bible this way, agape, a love that seeks the best of its objects, seeing value in others, a self-sacrificial love. I think a big part of it is seeing value in others. When you love with this kind of love, you see value in them. You choose to see value in them. You might not be real evident, but you choose to see it that way. Vine's expository dictionary says it this way. Love can only be seen or only known from the action it prompts. It's important, I think, to say, I love you, but if there's no showing, I love you, then the words aren't going to mean much after a while, are they? Are they? Okay. God's love is seen in the gift of his Son. This is not a love drawn out by any excellence in its objects. It isn't. Sometimes you just, I love because, you know, you're beautiful. I love because you bring pleasure to me. All those things are good, but this is a love that goes beyond that. It was an exercise of the divine will in deliberate choice. And that's really what it comes down to begin with, is you choose to love. Not necessarily that you're seeing anything that's lovable, but you choose. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes very difficult, but this is what we choose to do. I remember growing up, you know, this is one of those things I've shared before. I recognized right away, we're supposed to love everybody. And I associated it at the time with a feeling. And I thought, you know, there's some people I'm just not going to be able to work up that feeling for. But it's not a feeling. It's a decision. And it's something that we have the capability from the inside when we're born again, particularly, to do. Now, here it says, particularly the part that we need to be concerned with this morning, we're focusing on, is love your neighbor as yourself. So love your neighbor, according to, this is what Strong says about neighbor. According to Christ, he's taught us about this. Remember Luke chapter 10 talks about the Good Samaritan. Interesting that it says, when it came down to the end, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. And then he said, well, which one was the neighbor? And they said, the one, the Good Samaritan. Didn't say the one who needed the help. He said the Good Samaritan was the neighbor. We are a neighbor when we are some help to the people around us. I guess we could say it that way. According to Christ, any other man, irrespective of nation or religion, with whom we live or whom we chance to meet, is our neighbor. I think that covers everybody as far as I can tell. Somebody that comes along. Love your neighbor as yourself. Just as means in the same way, in the same manner. You know, and I bring up every time I see that as yourself, I'm reminded that you got to love yourself. I thought, you know, some neighbors might look at us and say, please don't love me like you love yourself. You see how you take care of yourself. I don't want any of that. But we need to love ourselves, which starts out and begins with, if you think about it, seeing ourselves as righteous. If you can't see yourself as righteous, then you can't really love yourself. It's not a deserving position. It's a given position. It's a gift position to us. You're born again. You're righteous. You're made righteous. And when you can see yourself as being made righteous, then you can treat yourself as righteously, as a righteous person, and you can love your neighbor in the same manner. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's go to James chapter 1. Think in terms of love as action. You know, we could sit here in church every Sunday and just talk about how we love the people out there in Glenville, the people that we come across. We love the people in our families, and we love the people at work, and all that kind of stuff. But if there's no demonstration of that, big deal. James 1:26. Last couple of verses of the chapter, I think it is. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And we're going to use the word religion here a couple times there and another time in the next verse. Religion is not the kind of religion that we think of when we say we're trying not to be religious. Religion is, I was just looking it up in Strong's, it's an external manifestation of who we are on the inside. The external, specifically, worship to God in an external sense is religion, the way we're supposed to be. We're trying not to be religious, which would mean trying to please God in some way on the outside, look pious in some way that we aren't on the inside. Jesus talked about the religious in that sense. People of his day were whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. We don't want to be that, for sure. We want to be right on the inside, and therefore, because we are right on the inside, it shows on the outside, and the main way that it shows is we love. And I don't know, you know, I can't tell by the way you're looking at me, but this is a necessity to change. That the Christian community in general is not loving like they're supposed to. If there are some of the most vicious people you'll be around, and be Christians, unfortunately, who obviously haven't read these scriptures. And notice here it says that the words that we say are important when it comes to this demonstration of who we are on the inside. There are a lot of things that need never to come out of our mouth. Jesus talked about the words that we speak. You know, that's where all this bad stuff comes out. Watch your tongue. Read the book of Proverbs sometime, just looking for the instruction about what we say and what we don't say. You find out that death and life are in the power of the tongue. We need to curb that. I've said before, I read somewhere a long time ago, and you know, the words that come out of our mouth are like toothpaste out of the tube. Try to get it back in. Once it's out, and you say, I didn't mean that. Well, you know, we can be forgiven and so on, but it'd be better to have loved. How many things have we said that it would have been better if we had just hadn't said that and then have to deal with it? But we can. So, and then verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Obviously, we want to love the people around us, then we need to speak right. We need to live right. And we need to show them the love of God in a practical way. Show the love of Jesus in a practical way. To do things for them that they couldn't do on their own. The orphan and widows, implying people that need something that they can't do. But when we can do it for them, then we're showing the love of God in a practical way. Go to chapter 2 in James. Verse 15. James 2:15. If a brother or sister, now here he's talking specifically about in Christ, Christians, is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? We were in a meeting in Arizona, wasn't it? And somehow the saying got going around. We're teasing each other about it. Be warm, be filled, be gone. Get away from me, you know, that kind of thing. Well, it may be funny and teasing in a situation, but we need to be there for each other. This is about a community mindset. If we're in this together, then if you have a need, I have a need. And we need to be there for each other and be taking care of those things. I think we have to watch how we talk about that. I hear myself saying sometimes, well, at least we can pray. What do you mean at least? You know, what are we talking about? If I can take this need to, if I can't do anything else, I can't get there and minister that way, but I can pray. We can take that before the Lord. Praise God. All right, go to 1 John. One of the little Johns in the back. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16. 1 John 3:16. This is out of the New Living Translation. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. There's the demonstration. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, we don't have to die. That's not necessarily going to help anybody. But we can give up what we wanted to do at a certain time to minister to somebody else. You know, appreciate Lee getting together every other month and getting us out there to the city mission, things like that. That needs to be part of our lives. I know that you're all busy. I haven't run into anybody in a long time saying, well, I'm not very busy. We're all busy, but there needs to be some manifestation of doing something for somebody else that they couldn't do on their own in our lives. Verse 17, if someone has enough money to live well and sees his brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? You know, the implication, it's there, but you sure aren't seeing any of it. Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other, let us show the truth by our actions. The Amplified Bible for verse 18 said, little children, believers, dear ones, let us not love merely in theory, with word or tongue, giving lip service to compassion, but in action and in truth, in practice, in sincerity, because practical acts of love are more than words. Practical acts of love. There's probably something we can do. A lot of times there's something we can do. I used to get the Reader's Digest, and I was reading one time that a family had a tragic death of one of the, I think it was a teenage son. And the neighbors, you know, they were close and they cared a lot about them. And thought, well, what can you do? I think sometimes we don't even show up in a situation like that because we don't know what to say. I mean, there's no words that you can just say and make it all better. Sometimes all the person needs is just just to have you be there, to know that there's somebody's there. And what they did, I thought this was interesting. They came in and knocked at the door, and they said, "We're here to shine your shoes. You know, you're going to be doing funerals and things like that. Well, it's a little thing, but we just want you to know we're part of what's going on. We want to be involved in this and show that love, demonstrate it." There's always a way somehow. Because I know that feeling. What would I say? How could I? I can't make this better. You can't just fix things like that. God's got to fix that in their hearts. God is a God. Jesus carried, I know the word means pains, but it also says griefs. You don't have to spend the rest of your life in grief over a loss like that, because, praise God, in most cases, if they're born again children of God, we know they're in a good place, praise God, and we're going to see them again. But God can heal that on the inside, but we need to sometimes just show that we're there, show that we're with the person. So I'm thinking about this need for demonstration. I think it's pretty clear. It's hard to argue with the fact that love that's hidden isn't going to produce much. People aren't going to know that we're Christians because they didn't see any demonstration. They're not going to know that I feel love on the inside, that my emotions were stirred in some way. They're only going to know if I have some demonstration of that love. So we make excuses for ourselves. There's a difference between excuses and reasons, you know. I actually couldn't be there would be a reason, but excuses, I've got to come up with something because I know I should have done something, but I didn't. So, again, you know, people say, "Well, I'm too busy." Again, have you heard anybody say recently, "Well, I'm not that busy. Not much to do. Give me something to do." I know I didn't say that to Mom and Dad because, "Hey, Mom, give me something to do." Usually it wasn't what I wanted either. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Verse 13. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an occasion for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Don't use the excuse, "Well, I'm a Christian, I'm free. I can do whatever I want to do." Well, there's, I suppose, some truth to that, but love becomes a like a rein in the hands of God to steer us in the direction that he wants us to go. God is most of the time not showing up in a manifested glory of God visage, but he's showing up through you and I. He wants to show love to somebody. He's going to send one of us. I heard Kenneth Copeland say that the Lord sent him to, think of the expense to one of the Eastern European nations for one person. Kenneth Copeland can go and have meetings with thousands, but he sent him over there for one because he cared about that one person to minister to him. So he would probably send us next door. Just in the neighborhood, just to do something or just get us involved in something to help some other people when they can't help themselves, in an area that they can't help themselves. Somebody said, if you're too busy to serve others, you're too busy. You are too busy. So it's not always a question of how much we do, but what the quality of what we do. Not the amount, but the quality. Somebody else will say, I got my own problems. I'm dealing with my own stuff. Anybody not have stuff? We all got stuff. Something about it, though, when you start ministering to other people, your stuff doesn't seem so bad. You can take care of your own stuff. Go over to Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. If you're thinking, when I get my own stuff taken care of, then I'm going to help others. Well, there'll always be some stuff. Do not deceive. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart, if we don't faint. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Everybody's got stuff, but we can minister. And you know, if you can't do it here, if you can't love your brothers and sisters in manifestation here, how are you going to love the guy out on the street? I think one of the things that people think of when they come into a church, new situation, haven't been here before, consciously or subconsciously, are looking around and thinking and to see, how do they treat each other? Do they operate in love? You know, if you come into a church and they're not even loving each other, you better do not pass go, do not collect $200 and head on down the road. There's something better out there than that if we can't love each other. Amen? In demonstration. And it should be very evident. Yeah, I know, and some people make excuse. I know they don't love each other there, and that's usually because they don't feel like somebody did something for them that they wanted done. That's a different thing altogether. But when there's love in the house, it's evident. You don't have to. It isn't even about the hugs, although all those things are nice. But you can hug everybody around and not really have much demonstration of love at all. There's a difference. I don't even know how to explain that, but there's a difference. It's not just that. It's the being there. It's the genuine concern, not worry, but concern for what's going on in the other person's life. It's love. Amen? Somebody else might say, well, they got themselves in trouble. Let them get themselves out. Nobody helped me. Not any of us would ever say that, but, you know, somebody else that we might be able to minister to sometime in the future. Job chapter 22. There's good scriptures in the book of Job. Job chapter 22, verse 30. I'm going to read this to you in the Amplified Bible. So I'll talk a little louder. Job 22, 30. I'm in one of those moods this morning. I don't know what it is. He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. And, you know, sometimes I think intercession is more than just praying for him. It's being there for him. He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede who is not innocent, as he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. If we go by whether they deserve help or not, you better point the fingers back to yourself a little bit there. This whole thing is not about deserving. Praise God, it's not. It's about qualified. It's about God made us qualified through the Lord Jesus Christ. If it hadn't been for that, you can, you know, we can put a halo on all we want, but we just aren't deserving. We just don't come up to the standard on our own. But thank God, thank God, thank God for Jesus that brought us up to the standard and qualified us for all the promises of God. So we don't have to be religious in the wrong sense anymore. Try to please God in some way so he'll be inclined in our direction and heal us or whatever it happens to be. We're already qualified, praise God. In the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come that way, everything's fine, praise God. So therefore, because we're qualified, we can help people around us, whether it looks like they deserve it or not. You know, hopefully you learn to do that. We learn to do that with our own children. It's not that they were always deserving. They were deserving of something, but it didn't always seem to be that which was good, but we do the right things for them because of the position we're in. We have a position of brothers and sisters in Christ that we need to do things for each other also. Amen. One more scripture. James chapter 3. Verse 13, excuse me, 17. James 3:17. Living Bible. But the wisdom that comes from heaven. See, there's a false wisdom. The world thinks it's wisdom. A lot of Christians thinks it's wisdom, but it's not from God. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and full of quietness. Then it's peace-loving. Interesting, I heard a whole sermon on pure comes before peace. You might have to meditate on that for a while. Purity comes before peace. Sometimes in order to not be impure, you're going to create a little lacking of peace in situations around you, but purity comes first. We live right. It might cost us to live right, but we're going to live right. And God will deal with the peace part. So, first of all, then is peace-loving and courteous. It allows discussion that is willing to yield to others. Interesting. It's full of mercy and good deeds. Full of mercy and good deeds. It is wholehearted and straightforward and sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. It's not always, you know, two people at odds with each other. It's just living in a situation of peace. That there ought to be a sense about us that when we come on the scene, for whatever reason, it brings peace. There's a peacefulness. Even when we're going to live pure, live for God, regardless of what people think, there still should be a sense of peacefulness about it. See, that would... some of the things that we've done as Christians in trying to alleviate the world's problems have been more of a problem than a help. We disagree with some of the things that, some of the philosophies of the world around us, even our government and so on. But it's still, there should be a peacefulness about it. You know, when you hear somebody blew up an abortion clinic, you know, you didn't get it at all. You didn't understand. That's not what it was about. Destroy everybody who disagrees with it. That's not what it's about. Somebody said, you know, we've shown the world what we don't believe. We need to show the world what we do believe. Need to be believing, and we need to be loving, and that's what's going to change. It's love that never fails. Love never fails, and faith works by love. So those things are important. Mercy means, as far as God's mercy, it means we don't get what we did deserve. And we need sometimes to give others what they don't deserve. Or not give them what they do deserve. Amen? Mercy, the mercy of God, manifest that way. Praise God. So we are, our vision here is, remember, growing disciples to build the kingdom, by loving God, loving people, and investing in others. This is what Diane and I feel that God wants this community, this church community, to be about. Loving God, loving people, investing in others. And I can guarantee that before this day's over, you'll have opportunities to do all those things. Look for opportunities, because they're there. And we're going to do that. Amen.